Hey everyone. So I just have a quick announcement to make. If you know anything about autism, you know how important early intervention is. This is true of so many things in life, and it's definitely true with marriage. It's always so amazing to me that we prepare people for driving, for voting, for school, for just about everything except the one area where it matters the most, marriage. If you all caught my episode with Dr. Les Parrott a couple weeks back, according to him, 76% of married couples say they wish they would have had premarital counseling. And from couples who did premarital counseling, 31% are less likely to get divorced. If I had to say what the one common theme of the people that I hear from the most is, it's this statement: I wish I had known about you, Suzanne, 20 years ago. It just makes zero sense to me that those of us who've been married for decades don't help the younger generation with what we've learned the hard way. I think that's so interesting that some people take an attitude of, well, they need to figure things out on their own, I can't get in their way, or just because that happened to me doesn't mean it'll happen to them, or whatever the case may be. I mean, the reality is, what is the purpose of having all that experience and not passing it on? I just really feel like that's our duty as, you know, the older generation. And it doesn't mean that you're going to save everyone. It just means that you've at least done your part. So this is why I'm offering 15% off for the next month of my premarital / newly married coaching package. Just go to suzannebenker.com/coaching and scroll down to the first package that you see there and put fall 2020. That's fall, F-A-L-L, lowercase, fall 2020 to get 15% off this 4-session package that highlights the 4 main potential stressors of every marriage. Again, that's suzannebenker.com/coaching. From the magnificent Midwest, this is the Suzanne Benker Show, where men and women are equal in value, but wildly different by nature. Join us here every week when we challenge the culture's hugely flawed narratives regarding men, women, sex, and love. From coast to coast and from around the world, thank you for joining us. This program is brought to you in part by Let's Get Real, where forensic accountant Tiffany Couch uses her financial skills to shine the light on the real issues we all face every day. If you would like to make decisions based on facts and information rather than on rhetoric and cultural pressures, go to letsgetreallife.com, a place where you can find tools to improve your communication skills and to increase your connection to humanity. That's letsgetreallife.com. Today on the show, we're going to talk to author and speaker Michael J. Durkin about what it means to be a man in the 21st century, or honestly, in any century for that matter. But first, a few quick announcements. Have you become a Patreon supporter? Well, why the heck not? You get free gifts just for signing up, and there are several very economical levels. Plus, if you have a business you want to promote, there's even an option for that. So just go to the SuzanneBenkerShow.com and click on Become a Patron button. I love, love, love getting supporters. I love doing shout outs to my supporters. I love knowing that I have the supporters, and I know you're all out there, but it's just such a big deal to me when you take that extra step. So please consider it. Finally, if you've been on the fence about whether or not to seek help for your marriage or relationship, why not sign up for your free 30-minute call with me to see if I can help? It's free. Why would you not, right? Just go to SuzanneBenker.com. The button to sign up is right at the top. Michael J. Durkin is an author, speaker, and self-described maniac committed to the strengthening of men, women, families, and the planet. He is the author of 8 business books, and he's spoken in front of audience as few as 6 and as large as 26,000. He's the creator of the Men of Honor podcast, which I highly recommend, which strives to help men become better fathers, husbands, sons, boyfriends, and community leaders. Michael weaves his own wisdom and personal experiences into his teachings on marriage, business success, parenting, fitness, and masculinity. He is passionate about keeping families together, making marriages joyful, and giving children a place to grow and learn. He's also a fan of putting the hot, seductive, alluring sex back into marriages where it belongs. Michael has survived and rebuilt his life after a devastating divorce, which we're going to talk about today, but is today married to a woman he dubs the beautiful Bonnie, and they live happily tucked away in the woods of northwestern Connecticut. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey, Suzanne, thanks for inviting me. Really excited to be here.
So excited to talk with you. So we should tell people a little bit. They probably won't be familiar with your name. And I've been telling people that I really wanted to get with people who have amazing stories to tell and who are doing great things, but you wouldn't necessarily know their name. And I'm really big into that. I just think that there's so much to be learned there. And you reached out to me because you're a follower of my podcast, which I love. Thank you very much. And you realized that our messages overlap big time. And when I took a look at your material, I said, yep, they certainly do. Nice. So I wanted to have you on, and you have so much energy, and this is going to be great. And hopefully we can keep this short because you and I could probably go on for several hours.
Yeah, there should definitely be a repeat, assuming that you like anything I say over the next hour. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, Michael. So I focused in on, you have this podcast, and I'm going to read some of the titles for people just so they get an idea here. It's called, again, I said it before, I'll say it again. It's called Men of Honor. And you've been doing this for quite some time, and you have so much material on here from everything about, well, everything, of course, related to what it means to be a man, like what that actually looks like. And in this podcast, you tell your story, which we're going to get to, and you explain what it is that makes a relationship work based on, of course, the same thing I talk about, and that's polarity and masculine and feminine energies. So something stood out in that particular episode. And I'm just going to read what you wrote, or excuse me, what you said, not wrote.
Got it.
Men of power produce results. That's why our women find us attractive. They find us fierce because we are doers. We are producers. We are men that can be counted on. And then here's where you really got me. Nothing is sexier to a woman than a man who says what he's going to do and follows through and knows who he is as a man. And you've probably known that I've said that so many times, that just say what you mean and mean what you say. It's so sexy. Explain, Michael, why that is.
Well, you know, the idea of the Men of Honor came to me from, you know, it's a very powerfully named podcast and training, because what I believe women want, in my humble opinion, is that they want a man that they can count on, that they want a man that they can lean into, that they really would like a man that they could, that literally is like a rock for them, and that they can depend on. I mean, you know, what do women really ultimately want in order to be able to flow love, you know, and to feel, you know, sexy with their man? Well, they need to know that their man loves them, but they also need to know that they have security. And nothing screws a woman up more than a man who says, I'm going to do that, and then he doesn't do it. And then the woman doesn't feel security. It could be something very simple. It could be picking up the kids or doing a task or doing something around the home. I mean, in our training, men should never, ever be nagged. They should, there's no nagging in the Men of Honor program because we just do the stuff we say we're going to do.
Okay. No. Right. And there is a little twist on this in that you're right. So you work with men, I work with women mostly, and I'm working on the nagging end, right? And you're working on the how to just be a strong man so you don't need that nag, right? Which is kind of funny. But I do often tell women that if your man says he's going to do something, don't demand when he does it. Assume that it will get done and be patient because it might not be at that very moment that you want it. And I do think that's a flip side, and it's important for women to understand that you might want something done in 2 seconds, but he might not be able to do it in 2 seconds. So you need to be a little patient.
Well, remember, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's very, very important to remember, this is very, very important, is that the more that you trust your man, the more he will rise to the level of the trust.
Bingo.
Bam, as Emerald would say.
Exactly.
The more you
I don't know why this is so hard, but it is very, very, very hard for women to understand.
Well,
I mean, I do know why. I do know why. I take that back. But that's one of my most difficult things is trying to get that across, is that actually you've been taught not to trust. And that's why you're not getting what you want. It's like what you learn from the culture is the complete opposite. You need to be doing the opposite and you'll get the opposite.
Well, but look at also what happened to us men. We basically listened to a narrative that said that we were supposed to be sensitive, that we were supposed to be soft, that we were supposed to be into our feelings, and that we were not supposed to be producers. We were not supposed to be doers. We were not supposed to take action and get stuff done. And we got very, very confused. And when a man is confused, let me tell you, Suzanne, when a man is confused, that is a recipe for disaster, because he'll go off the rails, he'll get lazy, he'll stop fulfilling his commitments, he'll get into his addictions, he'll get distracted. So, you know, we haven't helped the women either by being soft and not honoring our commitments. One of the main messages of the Men of Honor, and I always say to the women, I say, get your men to me and I will fix them. Because the first thing I'm going to tell them is to stop screwing around and to start doing what they say they're going to do, mean it, and get it done, and show your wife that she can count on you. And immediately, that's one of the things that we teach, that immediately the men come back to me and they say, wow, the resistance really went down in my marriage. And immediately it started getting more peaceful and a lot more fun.
Because they were showing up, right? And you know, what's interesting is I also saw that you, one of the things you talk about, we're going to get into this when we get to the three ways to rebuild your life after getting divorced. And I want you to tell your story. But I do have a lot of men on my Facebook page, not my Suzanne Venker private group page for this show, but I have a regular Suzanne Venker author Facebook page. And I do have a handful of men on there who are the exact opposite of what you suggest men be. And that's bitter. So we're going to get to that, where you're talking about how to be better, not bitter. And I try to sort of let them vent as long as it's appropriate, while gently saying, hey, you know, you can bow out if you want. And I get that. And that's fine. But don't bring down this page, because I'm all about helping men and women work together in a complementary fashion. And if you're just saying all men or all women suck because you had this horrible experience or several horrible experiences, that's not helpful.
No, and they don't have any steel in their spine, and they're blaming. Let me tell you, one of the things I tell the men in our training is I say every single problem that you have with communication, trouble, arguments, and any problems you have sex have everything to do with you. I cannot work with your wife. I'm going to work on you. And I'm going to tell you that you are the problem. We can only fix you. So let's get you, let's build you into a stronger, better, you know, right? Remember the $6 million man?
Yes. I loved that show. Oh, I loved it.
We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
He's so sexy.
Right. And we can rebuild men if they actually had a blueprint and they knew what they were supposed to do. But they're so darn confused. They can't figure out, should I be her bestie? Should I be folding socks? Should I be out mowing the lawn? Should I be out in the business world kicking some butt? They don't know what to do. So they need some technology and they need some mentors to help them understand what it really means to be a man.
And so let's talk about that specifically and really hone in right now for a minute on millennial men, because you talked about that in that podcast episode. And it's extremely important. I couldn't agree with you more that things are looking really bad for this group and for the future of marriage. We know marriage is in decline. And you wrote, quote, said in there, if young men don't get the training about marriage that they need, they will not survive the first 7 years. Marriage is an extremely high stakes game. You must know how to pick the right woman. And if you're in a marriage, you've got to figure out how not only to survive in your marriage, but to thrive in your marriage. And then you talked about millennial men basically being clueless, that they're walking through marriage with absolutely no roadmap. And what I want you to do is right now, if you would, is to just tell your story real quickly about your own experience, how you got so passionate about this because of what happened to you.
Sure. So, you know, as a young man of, 19 and a half, I met my future wife at a university, and we started dating there. And then we actually both left school before graduating, And I got and we lived together for a while, and then we got married. I was 22 years old when I got married. And so I married my college sweetheart, and things were pretty good. We started to build a life together, and we had two sons. Our first son is Corey, and then our second son 5 years later is Tyler. And we were at the, let's see, married for 17, together for 20. And you know, we had had our ups and downs here and there, and we were in what I call the trifecta of chaos, right? We had a 5-year-old boy, a 9-year-old boy. We had a business. We had to negotiate. We ran a water treatment company together, which gave us a lot of freedom, but also, you know, caused a lot of stress in our life. And we had two kids. And at the 20-year mark, my former wife said to me, she said, "I don't love you anymore. I don't feel any attraction for you anymore. I don't feel like I can count on you. And I'm out."
So what I want you to say now, if you would, is what is it that you feel that you did wrong to cause that?
Well, you know, look, it's when a marriage collapses, it's always 50-50, right? So I totally own my 50%. There were 100 things I could have been doing better as a husband, believe me. I just didn't know what the heck they were. You know, I was a completely faithful husband. I brought my paycheck home. I was literally one of the things that started to happen after the kids came along was that I felt that if I built a thing called relational equity, that I was doing the right thing and I was being a good husband. So this is what a lot of husbands fall into, the trap of, okay, she wants me to be this way, so I'm going to be this way. So I'm going to start jumping through the hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started jumping through the hoops thinking, well, if I do what she wants and I do what she says and kind of demands or complains about or gets angry or freezes me out, right? The old, you know, you didn't do it the way I wanted, so I'm going to freeze you out. If I could jump through the hoops and you know, well enough and high enough, and I, you know, give kids baths and tell them stories at night. And I love that. Believe me, my family was the most important thing in the world to me. And I really thought that I was really doing a good job. And, you know, I brought my paycheck home. You know, I've no addictions, you know, I mean.
So then what did she mean when she said that? Because those are some pretty harsh words.
You know, the expectations were, you know, really, really high.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, it was a pretty high bar to jump over. I mean, you know, I mean, we were having a financial crunch at the time. You know, we had been through financial problems before, but, you know, it was like, okay, I'm sick of this. You're just not the man that I want you to be. And I've been trying to get you to become the man that I want you to be. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, quite frankly, I'm going to go get a new man. And that's what she did.
So, and what I'm concerned about with millennial men, going back to that for a minute, who you said are clueless and sleepwalking through this whole experience, which I agree, I do see so many of them jumping through hoops to follow these women. I mean, even their careers, like to just put their own lives on hold, or not on hold necessarily, but to basically put her, everything about her needs first. And the fact that there's come second is supposed to be some sign of progression, right? The enlightened man, the, as you say, this soft and sensitive and kinder man. And I worry so much about 10, 15, 20 years down the road for these same relationships when I see them at this age doing it.
Yeah. Well, it won't take 15 years.
But, yeah. No.
they're going to be ripped apart in the shredder, you know, before they know what has happened. Well, you know, look, all men, you know, since 1965, since the sexual revolution and since feminism, you know, we've been taught through every movie, every song, you know, we've been taught that that we need to be sensitive. We need to be emotional, that it's okay to cry. I was watching a couple weeks ago, I was watching the famous movie Stripes with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. And they're getting on the bus to go to the boot camp. And, you know, they have there's two sexy MPs, right, that want to get the guys onto the bus, and they're giving the girls some trouble, and they're flirting with them. And one of the ladies says, she says, you know, you look like a nice, sensitive guy. Don't make me shoot you. Okay. So that's a night. That's like what Stripes is like 1982, right? 83.
Oh, there's a lot of things from those shows now that you could never air today. Oh my God. Oh, stupid. Yeah. Like irrelevant, benign things that today would be considered horrible. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
But everything has been, you know, if you will open up, if you'll be soft, if you will be willing to cry with us, if you'll be willing to share your emotions. I mean, how many movies have you've seen, you know, the woman says, you won't let me in. You won't tell me. Yeah. You won't tell me what's going on with you. Yeah. I don't know you. You won't share yourself with me. So I'm going to go have sex with your alpha buddy.
Yeah, it's tricky territory because there is no question that, I mean, and I don't want the message to be literally that if a man sheds a tear, he's weak. That's not the point, of course.
No.
So it's, I think that's where the tricky part is, especially for these millennial men, because if they heard you say that, they think that you're trying to bring them back to, this supposed time, which I guess was probably a real time, when John Wayne was the model, and you certainly can't imagine John Wayne ever shedding a tear. And so I think the idea of sensitivity, if you're comparing it to being a completely undeveloped, hard-ass type alpha male, sure, sounds good. But we overcorrected, wouldn't you say?
Well, look, okay, let's put it in more modern terms, right? We always talk about like masculinity, like John Wayne always comes up, you know, Harley's come up, the Marlboro man comes up, oil fields. You know, that's not what being a man is, not some macho image of a man who can shoot or ride a motorcycle or rappel down a mountain. That's not what masculinity is, especially in today's society. Here's an example of masculinity. You have a really bad day and your boss threatens your livelihood. And he says, if you make one more mistake, you're going to lose your $100,000 a year job. And as you're driving home in an hour and a half of traffic, you're scared to death and you're thinking, oh my God, I mean, we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. So you walk in the door and you start emoting to your wife and you start scaring the hell out of her and saying, I'm really worried. You can't believe what John said to me. He freaked me out. He said, one more time, I'm going to get fired. Now that's too sensitive. That's too emotional, and that's not taking the hit as a man. So what I teach the men is before you walk in the door, you need to call one of your men, one of your wingmen, and you need to say, dude, I got to talk to you. I'm freaking out. My boss really went up my butt today, and I'm really scared. And you need to get that out before you walk in the door. And you freak your wife out, because if you freak your wife out, she's not going to be
unsafe.
Security.
Right. It goes back to that safety and security. If you're freaking out, she's going to freak out. This is so funny because I literally teach women the opposite, to go kvetch to their girlfriends. Don't bring that to the husband.
Well, that's look, Suzanne, that's a really genius thing that you just said. Okay. I want everybody to hear this. Do not miss what she just said. Okay. The men need to be with the men and the women need to be with the women, because there is an energy, there is an understanding, there is a mentorship, and there is a power. Men get recharged by being with their men. And I'm going to tell you something about men. I don't know that much about women, but I could tell you something about men. Okay. Men, when they get married, they give up all of their closest male friends over the next 5 to 7 years after they get married. So they don't have the weekly basketball game. They don't have the weekly, you know, whatever it is, Bible study, whatever way they got together with their men. They stop doing that because, you know, life gets so busy and their wife is important and they don't want to be, you know, away all day on a Sunday being with the men. But most men, I'm going to say something really critical. Most men do not have five men in their phone that they could call to and say, I'm worried before I get home, I need to talk to you. My boss threatened my job. Most men don't have five men close enough to them. And that's a big problem. One of the ways that you fix your masculinity issues is you get around some good men and you get some mentors and you get what I call a circle of power around you and you start manning up with the men. And that's going to make a huge difference. Because what that's going to do is it's going to give you that positive side of the polarity.
I see evidence of that all the time, that women, the wives have their girls' night. They've got everything they need on the feminine side. And the men simply don't. The days of playing poker in the basement or even golf games. Remember when golf games were kind of normal, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they did take up an entire Saturday. But you know, whatever. So that those days are gone. And where are men? What are they going to do with those emotions? What are they going to do with those feelings? So our thoughts or whatever it may be, except literally have them sit inside of them. And then it comes out in really negative ways, right?
Absolutely. And then that kind of emotionality, that scares your wife. And your wife doesn't want to deal with that. And she starts to see you as weak. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm just going to say something, you know, it's just my humble opinion, but I believe that a woman cannot love a man she cannot respect. And so if a man doesn't know how to handle like emotions that are negative or things that are problems, and he brings everything to his wife. And by the way, your wife should become your best friend. If you're in a 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 year, 40 year marriage, God bless you, you should become best friends. Because let me tell you what you go through. You go through deaths. You go through problems. You go through some days you're on the mountaintop, some years you're in the darn valley, right? So what happens is you form this unit, this team. Right. My wife, the beautiful Bonnie, and I, we've been together now 17 years, both rebuilt our lives after both being divorced. We were not the divorce seekers, and we rebuilt our lives, and we have become best friends because we've been through it all. Okay. But that doesn't mean that I bring every problem and every issue and every concern and lay myself into my wife's arms and cry, boo-hoo, I'm scared.
You know, that's really interesting because I've actually coached women who feel, and they've asked me flat out, aren't I supposed to be able to share everything with my husband? And they're usually younger, you know, it's a younger set. Again, we're going back to millennials. That's because they're equal, right? They're partners. They're the same. That's what they've been raised with. And they approach it, the whole relationship, really much more like roommates and besties than they do the way you and I do with this polarity and understanding. And they don't even really know anything about this polarity. It's all new to them. So I have to explain, well, no, actually you don't need to. I mean, being best friends, I get that point, but that's not the same as treating him as though he's your girlfriend and expecting him to relate to you in the same way or to talk the same way and all of that.
Yeah, that's a genius thing you just said. Do not expect your man to be your best girlfriend. And that's what I see a lot of men become their wife's best girlfriend. And if they become their wife's best girlfriend, what woman, what wife in this world would want to have sex with her best girlfriend? I mean, there's no excitement. No wonder my former wife said, I'm out, I'm done, you're not exciting to me. There, yeah, you fold socks and you give kids baths, but I don't want you to take me. I don't want you to make love to me. I have no feeling for you.
Okay, Michael, people are going to want to know. I want you to hone in on what it is that you're, who are you today that differs from that person specifically? Like what is it that, how did you change? I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then lead that into what you talked about in that episode about how men should frame themselves in a way that allows a woman to lean into you.
So what I did when I got divorced, I was very devastated. And I never thought, I made a 100% lifetime commitment. And that's just who I am. And that was my upbringing. My parents' family was very important to them. And my parents did not divorce. They didn't always have the greatest, you know, relationship, but they stayed together and it worked. And so when I got divorced, I was really blown away. And what I realized was that I had given up all my male friends. And so what I started to do was I started to seek out men that I could be around that could teach me things or that I could help. One of the ways that you can learn, you know, you can start to build yourself up is you can learn to teach things. So I started researching masculinity. I started putting together groups of men to talk about. Usually I was dealing with men that were broken, that had been divorced or had a problem, or they went bankrupt, or they had an addiction. And we gathered together and we started coming up with, you know, kind of a philosophy, or sometimes I call it the Men of Honor technology. And so we started building this philosophy and we started getting together every week. I ran an actual circle of men around on my property, around a fire pit outside in the woods. And we saved probably hundreds of marriages. We helped a lot of men to become better ex-husbands. And by being around the men and listening to them, I started to give them guidance and I started to give them wisdom. And then it started to come, and that started building me up as a better man, as a, you know, and like you said before, but one of my things was I could either become bitter after getting what I thought was kind of brutally divorced, or I could become better. So I say to the men, don't become bitter, become better men. And so I started learning things like how to be solid and learning how to be a man that could be leaned into and a man that could be counted on. Also, by the way, also one of the things that we teach in the Men of Honor is how to become a really good listener, a masculine listener. I just said something really important right there. What a lot of communication courses do is they try to teach men to become more listeners like a woman. And your woman doesn't need you to be a woman listener. She needs you to be a masculine listener. So I got really good at listening. I got really good at being romantic. And then I attracted the beautiful Bonnie. And, you know, that was a...
And so did you have... So you talk a lot about how women test men and why. And I want to talk about that for a minute. Because again, going back to some of those bitter men on my site, you know, they think of testing as just this horrible thing that women do. And I love the way you explained it. And I totally agree that it's a biological, it's biological. It's a drive within women. It's natural for them to test their man, not to be mean, but to make sure that he is dependable and that he's strong and that he can handle her, right? And the things that come their way. So that's what that testing is. So explain what that test is and why men have to pass it and what that looks like.
So yeah, my buddy Shane, he's always famous for saying to us, you know, remember men, she wants you to pass the test.
Yes, good point. Great point.
She wants you to pass. She's rooting for you. She's like,
she's not trying to mess you up.
Oh gosh, I hope he doesn't sell himself out. I hope he doesn't sell himself out. Because if he would sell himself out, he would sell the kids out, and he would sell me out. And let me tell you a story. I had a man in Canada, and the man calls me up, and he says, and they have a blended family. He's got like three children. I think she has two. And he says, she told me that my kids have to leave. She's unhappy. My kids have to leave and go back to their mother. Her kids get to stay. And if I don't do that, she's leaving. What should I say? I said, you say to her very calmly, you say, that's not what we're going to do. You're going to stay put. The kids are going to stay put. And we're going to figure this out. I know you're unhappy, but it's going to get better, and we're going to work it out. And he's like, but she threatened to leave. I said, listen, just because she threatened to leave doesn't mean she's leaving. She's testing you to see what you're going to do. He's like, do you think so? Really? Like, I'm going to, like, you want me to bet the farm on the fact that she's testing me? And I'm like, brother, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, literally, he texted me back an hour later. He goes, dude, I told her exactly what you said. And she said, okay, we'll figure it out. She's not leaving.
It's so funny because once you see this, Michael, I mean, so think about your person when you married the first time and how you said you were kind of in the dark or whatever. And then once you become educated, whether it's trial by fire or whatever the way, you know, whatever the way is, you can't unlearn it, right? Once you know it, you see it so crystal clear and you just want to go out and tell everybody, hey, this is how it works. And you see it and they don't yet see it. But once they see it, it's so beautiful. You can't unsee it. And that was a perfect example of that.
Yeah. So when, you know, if a woman asks a man to, you know, usually what women will do is, and they don't even know they're doing it. Let me say this for the record. I love women. I mean, women are magnificent people, individuals. They are awesome. And I believe that men and women are better together. And I said this to the beautiful Bonnie. I said, when I did that episode about divorce, I said, you know, I said that men are better when they're with women. And she said, hon, she said, remember, it's better for the wife too. She goes, it's better for the woman to have a man that she can depend on, that she can be friends with, that she can do things with. I mean, look, marriage is an adventure, right? It's an adventure. Who are you going to take the adventure with? Like, why would anybody in their right mind get married? That's freaking insane.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's nuts. That's crazy. You have one individual's got all of their dreams, hopes, and issues. You got another person with her dreams, issues, and hopes. You put those two people together and you say, okay, now navigate a life with no training, no manual, just no technology. Oh, and then I want you to have 3 to 5 kids, you know, or maybe I guess the average probably today is 2. So
which is going to totally throw a wrench into whatever you've created prior to having them. So be prepared for that.
So I tell, this is what I tell the men. I say, listen, I love you men. Notice I always say men, not guys. Okay. I love you men. Okay. I love the fact that you're getting your wives pregnant and you're starting businesses and you're doing a side job. And I love that you're taking this stuff on and you're trying to buy a vacation home or you're trying to get a timeshare and you're trying to get this and you're trying to build a porch, but you're in the trifecta of chaos. If you are a man in today's society, you are more confused. You got more chaos. You got more stuff swirling around you than ever before. You better get yourself darn solid. You better get prayed up. You better get men around you. You better learn what it takes to be a man. And you better get yourself really solid. Get some steel in your spine. Get some love in your heart and get some steel in your spine. I never said that before that way. Thank you, Spirit, for that one. Yes. So
that's a good one. When you got married, things were perfect. You were both in love and life was good. Then somewhere along the line, everything changed. She changed, or maybe he did. Either which way, now your relationship feels, well, hard. I coach husbands and wives who feel lonely, disrespected, or misunderstood in their relationship. So many women today are desperate for their husbands to step up to the plate, to make a decision and to stick to it, to lead rather than to follow. Ladies, you have the power to make it happen. Men respond best to women who are grounded in their feminine core. As for husbands, so many of them want their wives to stop nagging and to just trust them, to smile more and to complain less, to look at them the way they did when they were first dating. Men, you have the power to make it happen. Women respond best to men who are grounded in their masculine core. The secret to lasting love rests in the masculine-feminine dance. Once you master it, your relationship will no longer be difficult. You'll be moving with the biological tide rather than against it. And that makes marriage smooth sailing. If you're struggling in your relationship, if you feel frustrated or alone, I can help. Just go to SuzanneVenker.com, that's SuzanneVenker.com, and click on the coaching button at the top. Don't wait another minute to acquire the mindset you need to find love and to sustain it. It's so much easier than you think. That's SuzanneVenker.com. Okay. So in the spirit of that, let's get to the three ways to rebuild your life after going through a divorce.
All right. So we're going to talk to all the men about becoming better, not becoming bitter.
Right.
Become a better man. Number one, first thing you want to do is if you've been through a divorce, someone walked out on you, you have a broken relationship. Number one thing I recommend that you do, very, very important, do not miss this, is that you forgive. That you forgive. That you pray for the person, that you forgive them. And the reason that men become bitter is because they hold on to the idea that they were done wrong. And listen, let me repeat this, okay? Divorce is very nasty business for men. Yep. It's very, very nasty business. You should listen to me, men. You do not want to be divorced. The worst thing that will ever happen to you is when your children say, we met the new guy. I'm not calling him a man. We met the new guy and he taught us all these things and he's our new father. And that is the most hurtful soul pain that you'll ever have. So I know that you've been hurt. I know that it felt like your heart was ripped out. And listen, the arrow of divorce gets shot into your chest and it's very, very deep. It takes a man 3 to 5 years to pull the arrow of divorce out of his chest. So make no mistake, be very, very careful who you marry. Make sure you know how to let the right woman choose you. And I said something very important there because you better remember she chooses. Mm-hmm. You don't choose. Men have no power. Okay, when it comes to being chosen. If she wants you, she's got you. Okay, so you better understand that. You got to be very careful on who you let choose you that you're going to go on this adventure with. But if you want to move on from a bad relationship, you want to learn how to forgive. And one of the best things I ever heard Bonnie say, the beautiful Bonnie say, was she said to her daughter, you know, Mom, I wish that you and Dad could just kind of like hang out and, you know, have dinner together or maybe watch a football game with all of us. I wish we could be a family again. And Bonnie said this genius thing. She said, hon, you got to understand something. We are just not, your father and I are just not a vibrational match anymore. And what a lot of men need to do is understand you just weren't a vibrational match to her anymore. So let her go, give her to God, forgive her, pick up the shattered pieces of your life and move on.
Okay, so that's forgive, the first one.
Yep.
And then the second one, I don't know, I think it's pretty big.
Okay.
No, I'm loving it.
Strap yourselves down. All right, that's from Flash Gordon. All right, you know, men annoyingly always talk about movie lines that women.
Yes, I know. My husband
don't know, or yeah. So that's from Flash Gordon. So strap yourselves down. So break free. Number one is forgive. Number two is break free from the lie of feminism. Bam.
Bam. Amen.
Break free from the lie of feminism. So what does feminism say? You know, feminism says that, you know, you're supposed to be soft. You're supposed to be sensitive. The feminism is not going to help you to be able to rebuild your life because the lie of feminism tells you this. Get ready for this. This is huge. I'm about to drop some huge knowledge on you, as the kids would say. Okay, I got four of them. All right, and they're all under 30. So I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. Okay, here it is. Men and women are different. They are freaking different. Now, I know that you've been trained to believe that you're the same and that you're equal and you both should do and should fold the equal amount of socks or else it's not equal. Okay. But you are barking up the wrong tree and you are in big trouble. So what you want to understand, see, here's what I teach the men. This is why 50-50 doesn't work. I'm about to really expand your mind here. Okay. You ready for this, Suzanne? You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. It shouldn't be 50-50. It should be 100-100. It should be 100% The man should do 100% of the stuff that he's really good at doing, and he should take on territory, and he should master that territory, and he should do it well. Like in my house, I am the counter cleaner. Man, I clean our granite countertops like Michelangelo himself, brother. I mean, I am the best granite counter. Nobody can come near me with cleaning the counters. I do them fast. I do them beautifully. Whatever territory you decide to take on, you must do it well. And you must give your wife confidence that the lawn's going to be mowed, that the bills are going to be paid, that the kids are going to be dropped off on time. Give 100%. Do 100% of what you can do. Don't be trying to figure out she does more than me, I do more than her. The beautiful and I never do that. We just give 100% to everything that we do. And she's better at things than I am. Like, I'm terrible at doing floors. So she's really good at doing floors. So she does floors, but I do other things. But we don't sit there with a list. Okay. We are different, and we carry as much of the load as we can. And we don't look for this. What's the word I'm looking for, Suzanne? This tally, trying to
tat or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had any luck trying to explain to a millennial guy, especially man, like a really good example of how feminism has affected these relationships that isn't so tangible, like the example you gave, and you mentioned this in the podcast too, is that you can't criticize a woman at all in any way, shape, or form. But meanwhile, all men is criticized and picked on and told to change. And why don't millennial men see that inequity there? It's so obvious. You can see it in the relationship from a distance, you know, looking in on those younger relationships, you can see it. And I don't know why they don't.
Well, I'm not sure either exactly why. In the Men of Honor training, we get off of the question of why, and we talk about stuff to the men that will just work. Okay. So I say to the men, well, why don't you actually, if you want to have sex with your wife, why don't you actually pursue her? Why don't you actually understand what excites her and what would make her want to be sexually attracted to you? Like, do you understand that your wife has a question deep inside of her heart? And the question is, do you see me as beautiful? Do you find me attractive? Do you see who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching. What was the movie? I can't think of the name of it right now. I can see it on my Netflix. But the woman says, she says in the movie, in the series, she says to Ellen Page, she says, the something Academy, what is it? The Umbrella Academy. And she says to her, do you know what it's like to live with a man and not be seen?
Yeah, yeah.
To not be counted, that he doesn't even see you. So I turn to the men and I say, when's the last time you actually saw your wife and understood what she was interested in? When's the last time you actually cared about the book she was reading, the play that she wanted to go to, the music that she wanted to play, the charity that she was interested in? When are you going to actually notice her and how valuable she is? And have you told her? Have you written her a note? Have you brought her some flowers? Have you made some kind of a tangible, you know, advance of romance? Look, men are really good. I'm going to say something really interesting right now. Men are really good at pursuing. Men are really good at romance. And they're really good at sex. Now, I just lost half your female audience.
I know, because I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, at first, and then okay. Somehow.
But that's because they want something, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's because there's competition anxiety, and they're afraid. They're trying to beat all the other guys. They're trying to beat all the other guys that want to get that woman, right? Then the dumb acre man, all of us are dumb acres, right? Then what we think is we got married. That's like unlimited sex, bro, right? Like, I mean, this was such a good idea to get married because now it's not like, you know, just once a week or whenever I can find her. I'm going to go to bed and wake up with her every day. So that seems to me there's going to be a lot more sex. And that's why marriage kills sex, because men stop the one thing that they're really good at, which is pursuing a beautiful woman and winning her.
So I like that, because it's a flip side of, again, what I deal with is like when marriages go bad, when sex goes in the marriage, it's often like, what can a woman do to, you know, up the ante or to make it better? And there's certainly things that both can do, but I don't think there is a lot of attention paid on what you just said, because it's such an easy, it really is easy to, easier, let's say, than some people think, to get a woman to warm up. And you hit the nail on the head. It really is romancing her. It is pursuing her. It is acting exactly the way you did when you met her. It's very, very simple. And they do melt, you know, and women, I should say, being one myself, whatever worked at the beginning. And this is, again, I work with my coaching clients on this, whatever you did at the beginning, it will work again. What's happened is that life and stressors and children came along, and that all of that got lost in the shuffle, and I get it. And that happens, but I'm here to say you can get it back in a heartbeat, because there's a reason why it worked at the beginning. And the fact that the stressors got in the way and made it sort of be pushed down or whatever doesn't mean it can't be resurrected.
Do you, you know, Bonnie and I were talking, the beautiful and I were talking today about, we were talking about this subject, and she said, remember in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where Clarice says to Rudolph, she says, "You're cute." And he starts jumping like six miles. He goes, "She said, I'm cute.
Yes,
I'm cute. Right. And we all get, see, and women get this, right? I mean, you know, if you tell a man he's cute, that he's exciting, that he's hot, that he makes you excited. I mean, we're so easy. I mean, Suzanne, I got the hard end of the equation. Okay. I'm trying to teach these knuckleheads over here to pursue and give the romance. Their wives could seduce him at the drop of a hat and really enjoy seducing him.
Yeah.
But you got to understand something about men. Men love to be seduced. And I know,
well, that's the flip side that I was talking about. There's so many, the wife can easily get their sex life back in action by putting on a certain outfit and just literally straddling him. You know, it's not difficult. So they can do that too. But then on the other side, like you're saying, the romance piece, you know, straddling your wife doesn't work so well.
No, that's a dumb acre move. No, don't do that. No. Yeah.
But put on that music and the candles, or take, you know, whatever, all whatever romance is for you. And you should hopefully know what your wife likes. Massage is a big one, I think, for many people. Then you got it made. It's just, it's not complicated. I really don't believe it's complicated. I think it's just making the time and having the space to do that. And I do think certainly it's more difficult when you have kids at home. I mean, there just is. I mean, you're empty nester, right? I'm almost an empty nester. The early years were fine in that respect and easy, because they're kids. They don't know what you're doing. They're babies. They're toddlers. And then there's that middle part, and that's good because they go to bed early. And then you get to the teenagers, and it's like having roommates, like adult roommates in your house. So I've talked about this on the podcast before. So, it's going to be more difficult at times than others. But we're looking forward to the empty nest. Do they call it a syndrome? I don't know if it's a syndrome to me, but
it's just beautiful quiet. I just walk around the house going, there are no children here. Nobody's walking through my house listening to a cell phone.
On yeah, exactly. Speaker, oh my God.
Bothering me, and I love it. Kids, please come home for Christmas. And but other than that, please stay away. Yeah.
Okay, so three, we gotta get going here. So three, what's the third? We have forgive, break free from the lie of feminism, and number three is
hard attract soft.
Amen. Tell the story of the woman, the man who ended up talking to that woman, hadn't met her yet, and then he meets her in the end, and she didn't look exactly like he would have normally wanted, but it didn't matter, and why.
That's a genius story. Yeah. So my friend Bob is doing this project before internet and being able to, Facebook and all that. And he says, I've been talking to this woman on the phone and she's in California and we're working on this project together. And he says, I'm so attracted to her. And I said, why? And he said, well, she's so feminine and she's always like complimenting me. And when we're working on this project, I come up with an idea and we're supposed to do it together. And she'll say, that's such a great idea. That's really genius that you came up with that. And he's like, the more I talk to her, the more I am just like, this woman is so alluring to me. And then he finally met her and he was surprised because she wasn't really his type. And she was a little, different than the kind of girl that he would normally go out with. And he was like, boy, she's a little stouter than I thought, but boy, I got to tell you, she is one really sexy woman. And I said to him, Bob, the reason that you've attracted a woman like that is because you've been working with our technology to get yourself stronger and to get yourself to be more masculine. And so what's happening is you're naturally attracting a feminine woman. The mistake that people think opposites attract, opposites do not attract. It's opposites complement each other. And what I teach the men is that if you want a feminine woman that can lean into you, that can receive from you. Okay. I had a man call me a couple of weeks ago and he said, what were those two things you said I needed to have? I met a woman. What were the two things you said I needed to have in order to marry a woman? What were those two things? And I said, okay, remember, number one is she must completely accept your ass the way it is. She must completely accept you. I said, and number two, she must be willing to receive from you. Mm-hmm. She must be good at receiving. And if she's a very feminine woman and she's trusting, then she's going to allow you to give to her. And that's going to be really helpful to you in your marriage. And he's like, I found an amazing woman. And he was very excited. And I said, remember that the higher her self-esteem is and the higher that she values herself, then she'll be able to receive your love to a very high level. And I said, that's what you want to look for, that she accepts your butt the way it is and that she can receive. And if she can receive from you gifts, sex, compliments, the feminine loves to receive and the masculine loves to give. Oh, I love doing these interviews. I never said it that way before. Yeah. The feminine loves to receive and the masculine loves to give. And so that's why hard attracts soft and soft attracts hard. Opposites complement each other.
Except I do tend to work with women who have trouble receiving. So I have to explain what receptivity looks like. And because obviously that's where you get into trust. And that's where so many of the women that I work with struggle because, well, you know why. And then that gets into the, well, why isn't he giving? And the reason they're not giving is because you're not able to receive and you're not in that receptivity space or whatever. And so you point out that if you're attracted, that for men who are attracted to women who are like women who are, well, I'll use the word alphas because of my book, The Alpha Female's Guide. If you're attracted to a woman who's a driver, you're going to clash because they're basically very masculine. This is the whole point of my alpha book. And that you're trying to teach men to be the strong masculine creatures they're meant to be, because the more you do that, the better the actual feminine woman you will attract. Yes?
Absolutely. And by the way, the Beautiful and I love The Alpha Female. That's the first book that we saw it on the news and we found you. That's how we first found you several years ago.
Oh, awesome.
We devoured that book. And I always tell my men, Suzanne Venker says in The Alpha Female, she says, your husband wants to please you. Your husband wants to be your white knight. He wants to make you happy. He's He is dedicated to your service. He wants to give you massages at night. He wants to say to you, how can I help you with your household duties? How can I be the hero? If you let your man be the hero, holy smokes, mm-hmm. he'll rise to the occasion of becoming a hero. And we learned that. We knew that, but we saw it in your book. And I tell the men all the time, remember what Suzanne says. He wants to please you. When I read that, I was like, hallelujah. Where has this woman been? I love this book.
Oh, Michael, I have to have you on again.
That's how I get on the second time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're doing. Yeah. All yeah. Right. That's awesome. That's so great. Yeah. Well, you were right. We were right. We're a match. We're certainly, it's so fun to talk to men who are talking to the men or the husbands or boyfriends or whatever of the women that I talk to. And I do get husbands or men who ask me, they want something similar for them. And so I will turn them to you because I do have a couple people I tell them about, but I'm going to add you to the list now.
Absolutely. We love to help the men and if they want to become better men, our philosophy is we help you to become a better man than you were yesterday in every area of your life, your marriage, your fitness, your spirituality, your recreation, your romance, parenting, having fun. We are all about developing a man into what we call a 360-degree man. That he's firing on all 8 cylinders. He's loving life. He's grabbing life. He's creating. He's setting goals. And by the way, when he's doing all that, when he's a 360-degree man, here's what happens. He's very, very attractive to a spouse.
Oh, God. I mean, that's just a slam dunk, right? I mean,
yeah.
So where do people, how do they find you? What do they do if they are hearing you now and would like to take part?
So on all of the podcast services, you can search for Men of Honor. Just look for Men of Honor. This H-O-N-O-R, not the one that's, I think, from England, which is O-U-R. Men of Honor. You'll see it's got a red icon with a suit of armor on it. And you can also go to our Conversations with Men Facebook group. And sorry, ladies, that's a men's Facebook group, and it's a men's space for a reason.
What's the name of that?
Conversations with Men. The Facebook group is called Conversations with Men. And if you want to reach me on a business level, if you're looking for some business consulting, you can go to thedurkingroup.org. You can go to thedurkingroup.org and you'll, at thedurkingroup.org, you'll see a video on there of me and my son, Corey, who I raised as an only father for 14 years.
Yeah.
And you will see that he is now my business partner. We are best buddies as he's now an adult man. And it's one of the greatest joys of my life.
And that's Durkin, D-U-R-K-I-N.
D-U-R-K-I-N. Yes. It's an Irish Catholic alcoholic name. Yes.
There's lots of Irish Catholics in my neck of the woods. I'm thinking of a friend right now who will be listening and laughing at that. Awesome. Love it, Michael. This has been such fun. Really. Just thank you for reaching out. I knew as soon as I heard you talk that you'd be a great person to chat with. And I wasn't wrong.
I've been honored to be here. I enjoyed it so much. I can't wait to hear the recording because I'm going to take some of the things that I said that the Spirit gave me and incorporate them into my next training. So thanks for helping me. I appreciate
it. Awesome. No problem. All right, Michael, we'll talk to you soon.
Live it up.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. And now for the email of the day. This is from Courtney. Hi, Suzanne. I absolutely love your work and have been following it for a while. I just had a question about your insight into the male-female dynamic and would value your thoughts. Basically, my boyfriend and I are not the stereotypical male-female dynamic. He probably talks a bit more than I do, is a bit more emotional than I am, seeks reconciliation in a disagreement, whereas I want to hide away, and so on. He is more relationally focused, where I'm more task-focused, as a rule. He's more of a nurturer, and I'm more of an adventurer. Still, it seems to work for us. But I want to know, how do I translate the advice of yourself and so many relationship experts and apply it to our situation when the dynamic you speak of doesn't fit? So this is actually a perfect email on the tales of that podcast. So I'm going to tell you what I told Courtney. The thing that stood out most to me when I read that email was where she said that it works for them. And I'm a big believer in if it works, don't mess with it. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The issue is really more about balance and less of this really hard-nosed, structured, all women must be this way, all men must be this way. Each one of us has some balance of masculinity and femininity, and the key is to look for balance. And even in my book, The Alpha Female's Guide, I made that very clear, that at the end of the day, it's not a hard-nosed rule, but rather seeking the balance. And you'll know when the balance is out of whack when you're fighting, right? Because the conflict is an indicator that it's out of whack. And she didn't mention anything about fighting or problems. She said it works. So I just want to assure Courtney and the rest of you that, again, if it's there are always exceptions to the rule. And if you have a situation where the woman is more has more masculine tendencies and the man has more feminine and it works, then you stick with it. I just think that in most cases, at least on the extreme views of that, or the extreme ends of that rather, it's not going to work. It's just typically not. But don't mess with it if it does. That's all I'm going to say there. And that ends this hour of the Suzanne Venker Show. Don't forget to tune in next week when we talk to New York Times bestselling author Warren Farrell. And don't forget to continue the conversation on Facebook. Just type in the Suzanne Venker Show in the Facebook search bar and you'll find it. Also, please recommend this podcast to one friend you think would enjoy it. And don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you're now using. Finally, if you have a question or comment for me, you can email me at suzanne@thesuzannevenkershow.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.